New studies are released and retracted all the time on what causes autistic spectrum disorder and what, quote-unquote, cures it. For example, in the last 2 weeks, the British medical journal The Lancet retracted the frequently cited Wakefield study from 1998, which linked MMR vaccine, that's measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, to autism. Now, just a few days later, the journal Autism Research published a study saying that advanced maternal and paternal age, that's the age of mom and dad, is a risk factor for autism. So what's true and what isn't? We want to spend a little time trying to get down into the data on autism and make it a little simpler. We want to give you a little bit of a crib sheet here on what we know about autism and what we don't know. Dr. Perry Klass and Dr. Eileen Costello are both pediatricians and co-authors of Quirky Kids. Dr. Klass is here in the studio with me. Dr. Klass, autistic spectrum disorder is sort of the catch-all phrase. And the term autism is really hard to understand because it's not just one thing. It may not even be just five things. Can you help us understand exactly what is autism in a way that isn't too overwhelming to even understand for us?
Well, it's a complicated term, and it's a complicated spectrum. And I think one of the things that you bring up in what you said initially is just our understanding that it is a spectrum, that it's not one very specific disorder, that it's a whole spectrum of behaviors and levels of function. That's kind of new. That wasn't around when I was in medical school, let alone when I was a child.
Characterized by what? A couple of instances of the behaviors or the problems that identify this.
There is a communication issue, both a social communication issue in terms of understanding other people's social cues and social signals. There can be very specific communication considerations in terms of how children use speech and language and how language develops. There is a whole range of issues then that come up around repetitive acts and very special interests and even obsessional interests. There's an interplay of these different traits that mark people on the autism spectrum. I just want to comment on one other thing before you say. You say new studies are introduced and retracted all the time. In fact, that retraction that you mentioned by The Lancet was a pretty unusual event and probably has something to do with why we're having this conversation.
Probably does. Well, all of these behaviors and these difficulties that kids have that you're describing, as complicated as they are, all translate to really difficult parenting. Or they can, because these kids can be difficult to parent. Dr. Costello, I want to bring you in. I have a list in front of me of a lot of causes or supposed causes of autism. We've heard all of these, but they're really complicated. And I thought you might go down the list and just help us understand how much of this is true. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right, vaccines. They're definitely off the table as a cause now?
Yes.
Off the table.
And that is a wonderful thing. As a primary care pediatrician, I think the Wakefield study that Dr. Klass was just referring to really caused a lot of fear and panic around the world and caused a lot of parents to have anxiety about immunizing their children. And it's a real blessing that the paper was retracted, because I think that research dollars were diverted in order to disprove that theory that could have been used for more important things.
Okay, let's get down the list here a little bit. Vaccines off the table, environmental factors, heavy metals like lead and mercury.
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think the mercury question is also a vaccine question, because I think when the MMR vaccine came off the table, the idea that something in vaccines must be causing this problem gained some strength. And I think we're pretty clear that it's certainly not the mercury-based preservatives in vaccines. And even the children who are exposed to very high levels of mercury don't actually manifest autistic symptoms.
Okay,
I think we're pretty sure that's not the problem either.
Okay, I don't want to keep you too short, but we have a long list and there's so many questions about this. Viruses that can affect pregnant women, like influenza and herpes, do they have a role?
There is some data to suggest that viral infections in pregnancy can increase your rates of developmental disorders, including autism.
Now, we had this study last week that we mentioned, age of mom and dad, older age increases your risk. What do we know about that?
Yes, I think that theory's been around for a long time, and there is growing data that advanced parental age is a risk factor.
Okay, that it could be. Dr. Klass, we've talked about some of the causes of autism. What about cures, or so-called cures? We've heard about gluten-free and dairy-free diets. A lot of this stuff seems to be trial and error.
A lot of this stuff is trial and error, and when you talk about the burdens that autism places on parents, some of these more extreme diets place an even greater burden on parents. Obviously, different things parents feel help with different children. The idea of a cure for autism is not really something we talk about. We talk about this as whether the child gets relief or help with the things that get in the way, with the things that make that child's life difficult. And there's no evidence around those diets, especially the more extreme diets.
So you're talking about behavioral help and help with the difficulties of behavior and parenting, not necessarily high-dose vitamins or things like chelation therapy, which is where they go in and try to suck the lead and the mercury out.
And which is actually dangerous and
which
has
is actually
been known to kill a child. No, we're talking
oxygen chambers and things like that.
I think the really basic message, and I bet Dr. Costello would agree with me about this, is that the behavioral therapies, and especially when you start them early, the more intense behavioral therapies are showing up as really effective. And for that, there really are data. And therefore, that urge to get children looked at and diagnosed earlier rather than later and get them help early is where a lot of our attention and effort should be going.
All right. So that's attention on behavior and helping with the difficult behaviors of autism. That's Dr. Perry Klass, primary care physician and Science Times writer. And we're also joined by Dr. Eileen Costello, primary care pediatrician and co-author of Quirky Kids. There are 5 myths about autism. You can see them on our website, thetakeaway.org, for more information.
We're also following the Winter Olympics all this morning. It got off to a sad start when an athlete died during practice on Friday. And we're looking for your takeaway here. Are the Olympics getting too fast? Are they too extreme? Are they too dangerous? Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Also, you have until 10 a.m. Eastern to post your photo of your dog on our website for our Best in Show competition at The Takeaway. I'm Celeste Headley.
I'm Todd Zwillikin for John Hockenberry all week. It's The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.